This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, U.S. researchers have spent nearly two decades to design and carry out the definitive study on the health impact of cell phones. The results have finally been released. If you've just slowly backed away from your smartphone, don't worry. The results are complicated. We'll break them all down. But first, these tech headlines. Broadcom has sweetened its takeover offer of Qualcomm in a deal that would be worth more than $121 billion, turning up the pressure on the takeover target in what would be the largest ever tech deal. Broadcom said Monday it would pay $82 a share in cash and stock. It said the revised bid is its, quote, best and final offer, end quote. Sprint is ready to launch a 5G network in 2019. Its planned addition would put it roughly in line with its rivals' rollout plans as it charts a new course following the collapse of merger talks late last year with T-Mobile. None of today's smartphones would work on the technology, but 5G networks have implications for other machines and devices such as self-driving cars. And readers, listen up. Amazon is shaking up the audiobook market. Audible, Amazon's audiobook subscription service, is trying to extend its dominance in a fast-growing corner of the book business. A report in the Journal details its surge in pursuing more audiobook publishing rights and how it could squeeze traditional book publishers in the fastest-growing segment of the market. Coming up, a decades-long study on the potential harmful impacts of cell phones has been released. What it says and what it doesn't say. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. The largest study ever on cell phones and cancer has just been completed by the National Toxicology Program. And while it revealed some interesting findings, it may not have settled the decades-long debate. Let's get right to it. Joining us now in studio is Wall Street Journal reporter Ryan Knutson. Hey, Ryan.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get into everything that this may or may not say, there's a lot to unpack here. Let's go back to the beginning. Cell phone technology is the same technology that microwaves use. So that just goes to show that this is a decades-long conversation that we've been having. How harmful is the impact of this? Take us back a little bit. Where does this start?
Yeah, so, you know, for microwaves have been around for a long time for as a communication technology. And then, of course, obviously in your kitchen to cook food, you know, the legendary story is there was a researcher standing next to a radar and it cooked the candy bar, it melted the candy bar in his pocket. And that's what But so, you know, decades pass and now they start using this technology for handheld phones in the 1970s and 80s. But the microwave energy was very well understood back decades ago to cause heat. That was sort of what everybody knew that it did. So when cell phones came around, they thought, well, as long as it's not causing heat, you know, causing your body to warm up, then we don't know if there's any harmful effects from the much lower level of exposure that people are actually getting from these devices. So ever since then, since cell phones sort of went on sale in the United States in the 1980s and across Western Europe, there's been a big debate about, well, if you're not being heated up from it, is there another effect from it? Because it's so-called non-ionizing radiation, which unlike ionizing radiation from nuclear bombs and x-rays and stuff like that, this energy is understood to be not quite powerful enough to just get in there and break up your DNA. Right. But it is, you know, we are electric species, you know. I mean, we have a pulse and there's electricity flowing through our bodies. And so how that might be affected by this energy that we come close in proximity to is very hard to tease out.
Right. So here we have this study from the National Toxicology Program. It was expansive, to say the least, two decades long. What are some key observations first that were made in this report? We'll get to everything else, but what were the key observations made?
Yeah, well, what they noticed essentially was that they radiated mice and rats for 2 years, but it took them a long time to design a study because it can explain that it's very difficult to figure out how much of a dose of radio frequency energy you're actually giving to an animal because how much they absorb is dependent upon their weight and their size and all sorts of other factors. But so when they did this, they noticed that there was an increase in the male rats only of two types of tumors, one in the heart and one in the brain. The one in the heart, but both types of tumors are associated with tumors that people believe may be associated in humans. They've done some epidemiological studies where they look at human populations with tumors and they've tried to tease out what the trends are, and they've noticed something called gliomas and acoustic neuromas. Now, the reason that the heart tumors that they found in the rats were so significant, it was in a very similar cell as the acoustic neuroma in the human brain. So they thought, well, we're seeing a brain tumor in the rats and this heart tumor that's also very similar to this brain tumor in humans. It was a very alarming finding that the researchers had. So they actually announced that tumor finding in 2016 early before they were finished. And so they said, we just found this one very alarming thing. We're going to tell you about everything else in a couple of years. So what happened on Friday was they came out with the final results, which were very mixed because they've had that finding about the tumors. It was very alarming, but there was a lot of other stuff in there that was like, well, we're not really sure what it means. For instance, a lot of the rats had a significant decrease in a particular type of kidney disease, which the researchers felt that made the rats live longer than the rats that weren't exposed. And there were some other biological observations, but it's not really clear what it means for humans. For one reason, these rats are getting a lot more exposure than a typical cell phone user does. But it's also not clear if you extrapolate backwards. So like these rats, you can imagine the radiation exposure was like roughly equivalent at the lowest end to talking on your cell phone for about 9 hours a day for 2 years, or okay. In other words, the course of the life of these rats. And also in a situation where you have weak signal, because if you have only like one bar, that means your phone is having to work a lot harder to push that signal to the tower. So that means you're getting a lot more radiation exposure than if you have full, strong signal. It doesn't have to work as hard. So, you know, what does it mean if you talk on the phone for 4 hours? And these also weren't even that large of increases in the rats. And we're talking about a couple of percentage points going from like a, you know, the control groups had no significant increase in tumors. So they're kind of based on that baseline. But, you know, we're talking a couple of percentage points, which is, so it's not like, you know, 50% of the rats got these types of tumors. It's still very low. So it's hard to know for sure what that means for people.
It's also complicated, and you break it down so succinctly as such. You know, 20 years later, we've only come so far in terms of anything definitive. So can we regard this as an important stepping stone, perhaps, to get us to that next step as to, you know, when we can finally have that definitive answer?
This study, I think, shows certainly that there are biological effects from this type of energy beyond just heating up of the body.
Right.
So understanding what that means are going to be important. They release all the underlying data so outside researchers can come and probe it and run different analysis to see if they can find other things. But we're probably talking about a maybe modest change in tumor rates potentially, if you are to believe that that is what the result could be.
Okay.
You know, it may be that there's a threshold that people just don't talk on their cell phones enough for there to be a long-term effect.
Lately, not so much, right? We all text.
Yeah, but right. But it's hard because, you know, brain tumors are a rare disease and they take a long time to develop. So,
right. You
know, cell phones have been around from the 80s, but people didn't really talk that much on their phones in the 80s and 90s. You know, it's really only been in the last like 10 or 15 years that people have spent. You know, right now, I think on average in the United States, it's about 12 hours a month that people spend talking. And, you know, putting the phone right up next to your head is where the energy comes from. If you're texting, you're not getting all that much because it's not really that close to your body.
Mm-hmm.
So we might find that, you know, if it results in a couple percentage points increases, there's about 1% of the population is at risk of getting a brain tumor. So if that goes up to 1.5% or 2%, and you're talking about a global population that uses phones, you know, that can add up to a lot of people. But what does that risk mean for you as an individual? Should you stop using your phone? That's probably less clear. It's not a massive increase for you personally, but talk about the world globally, and that's kind of what has a lot of researchers more concerned about the health effects and why this continues to be such a big issue.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff. Well, thank you so much for giving us the very latest.
Yeah, happy to try to unpack it up.
That was good. Thank you.
Thanks.
For more on reporter Ryan Knutson's story, you can head to WSJ.com. That does it for the Tech News Briefing. If you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Reporting from the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.
Make Tech News Briefing part of your flash briefing on the Amazon Echo. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.